Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of the EFL's Freezer Crowd podcast. Each episode we'll be having a look at all the happenings across the three leagues through the eyes of free football fans. I'll be joined each week by a good pal and resident Millwall fan, Andy.
Afternoon.
Hey mate, how you doing? And another good pal of mine, Luke. The less said about his team though, probably the better.
All right, chaps.
Hi mate, how you doing? Obviously, each week we'll be having a look at kind of all the things from across the leagues, but we'll probably be focusing a little bit on some of the games that have kind of been a little bit more exciting. So maybe focusing on one each week, but we'll see how it goes. So welcome to the podcast. What do we think to this weekend's games then, boys?
I quite like the look of the Derby Stoke game, so I watched that one. That was the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. I had it in my head that it was going to be a Michael Olise versus Tyrese Campbell sort of like face-off, but Michael Olise didn't even end up starting. He's been on Wolves and Arsenal's radar in the summer, and he's got one hell of a highlight reel. But so I was a bit disappointed he didn't start.
There's some other players to be excited by there, Luke.
Yeah, well, Reading have got a few injuries. They've got John Swift, Ajaria and Mate out. So
it looks like they've been struggling a little bit since, obviously, they've lost the other day against Coventry.
Oh, yeah. And that'll play havoc with anyone's morale, that, wouldn't it? So.
Yeah, fair point. Fair point.
It does. Would you say, Luke, that Reading look like they're on the way down? The league table.
They're getting relegated. No.
Yeah, we won't be that swift.
Now that this loss means they've lost three in a row, surprisingly, they're still top, which is just a credit to how good their first eight results were. They're on 22 points. In this one, it started off, Reading were quite busy. Angus Gunn in the Stoke goal had to be very alert for the first 20 minutes. It was all Reading. And it, just like the Preston game, they didn't take their half chances. And then some defensive mistakes that they just went 2-0 down in a matter of minutes. And then they just kind of like, just fell apart. No, it was just like Preston in midweek. They tried to push forward and just nothing really happened. They just conceded again in the last minute.
Yeah, not exactly what Reading fans have been used to either. They've been probably one of the most efficient teams in the league in front of goal, haven't they?
Yeah, Sky were talking about how ridiculous like their conversion rate is at the moment. Before this game started, they were outperforming their XG by 8 goals. And to put it into context, the closest team to that was Stoke, who have outperformed their XG by 1.5. So it's just that they've had the least shots in the league and they're still managed to be top. It's just nuts. So I did think, and like Andy said, I did think they were just going to start sliding down the league after this.
Yeah, so only a matter of time until they stop taking a few of those chances. Yeah. When you've got Puskás and Lucas Yao up front, you've got to fancy yourself to score most games.
Yeah.
Stoke look like they have sorted out their whole formation at the moment. Bit of a shambles last season.
And the season
and
before.
A dodgy start to the season here.
Yeah, I did read something interesting, though, about O'Neill. Since he's took over, there's not been many teams that have done better than Stoke since then. I actually think Millwall might be one of them.
Yeah. I think it's Millwall and Brentford, at least. They've been top six since he's taken over, but his game plan worked perfectly today. They had so many men sat behind the ball once they went 2-0 up, they just couldn't do anything.
Yeah, when you've got likes of John Obi Mikel holding the fort in the centre of the pitch as well.
As if they've got him there.
Player.
Yeah, there's a few big names still in that team though. I mean, Stephen Fletcher's still starting up front. Not sure how many games he's started this season, but
but he's a Stoke striker, isn't he? Like, he just fits the bill there.
Yeah, you've got McLean whipping in balls to him. You've always got an outlet.
Yeah. To be honest, I've watched quite a few. I started on Friday night with the, Andy's going to hate this, seven-side derby. And it was a bit of a weird one, to be honest. I think, obviously, kind of what you've just said about Reading and the fact that they're sliding down, it's offering up a few chances for other teams. I wanted to see Bristol City kind of go for it a little bit. Wasn't disappointed in the first 2 minutes, but then after that, not a lot of goal mouth action for them. Basically spent the rest of the game just fighting to keep Cardiff out.
Well, it wasn't much of a Neil Harris battling performance then, was it?
I don't know, to be honest. They couldn't have done much more. Did everything other than score. Yeah, Moore's obviously had a few chances. Probably should have scored two or three on another day. But Callas has done a job on him.
They've been relying on Joe Rawls pretty much the last couple of games. Scored a few goals. And obviously Harry Wilson coming in as well.
Yeah, he looks too good for this level.
It's
he looked really good
signing.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah, a lower league Premier League team would have picked him up, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't know if maybe it was just a case of, yeah, exactly what I was going to say, a case of the fact that it was kind of a bit like a Welsh factor for him. Also the fact that maybe it just got to the point where no one really came in for him and he had to make a decision. I don't know.
Yeah. But, keeps banging in the goals for them.
Yeah, he could have scored again on Friday night, to be honest. He was unlucky. But yeah, I don't know. I think they've been used to that kind of, they don't bully teams, but they've got a few big men in there who can kind of put themselves about a bit. But yeah, the likes of Callas and even Viner, to be honest, stood up to him quite well. I think Callas took one in the face and looked like he finished the game with a black eye. But which, to be fair, is a bit of a testament to him. Put a lot on the line just to try and get a point away. Well, 3 points on the road. But yeah, I don't know. On another day, I think the quote from Harris at the end of the game was he felt like his wallet had been stolen out of his back pocket. So probably sums up the game, to be fair.
Probably had that a lot in Millwall.
Okay, come on. I've resisted making a Cardiff joke of the same manner, but you know, you've said it now.
He should have got in there first.
I'm physically sick, to be honest. I'm rapidly falling out of love with football. I just wonder what's the point anymore, you know.
I said I've watched a few games, to be honest. Obviously the other game I've played close attention to is the Coventry game. Yeah, not sure I'm ready to talk about it yet.
Another disappointing one, was it?
Yeah, I just think after midweek, away at Forest, should have come away with 3 points, came away with zero. Didn't actually go into this one very confident, and then we've probably played the best we've played all season and come away with nothing again. Yeah, I don't know. They look like a Premier League team when they want to, but then, I don't know. I think I went on their Twitter afterwards, which is not always the best barometer, but some pretty funny replies suggesting that they're not happy with how they've been playing so far. They basically just relied on Saar using his pace down the side, which worked a bit, but Coventry have got a couple of quick wing backs, kind of dealt with it till the second half, and they just looked, their quality kind of shone a little bit, and then dodgy penalty. I say dodgy, it was one of these handballs. Everything handball gets given now, but there was definitely a foul leading up to it. There was actually some really nice goals though, from both teams, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know, like you expect a little bit more from the team who've just been, I say more, they've scored three goals, but yeah, you expect more from a team who's just been relegated, especially defensively when you look at what they've got on the pitch. They've got a lot of experience at the back, players that could probably be playing for bottom half Premier League teams.
Yeah, Ismaili Assar not leaving is massive. Like they'll look.
Yeah, it's huge, but I don't know. It's one of them, like, if he doesn't leave, if they don't go up, which I know you probably assume they will, if they don't and he doesn't leave, you kind of worry that he'll drop to the level, because there was definitely moments where if you want him to be your best player or change games, he's just got to get involved a little bit more. He kind of didn't get past his man a couple of times and then disappeared for 20 minutes. And you're talking about, you know, a player leaving for big money. You probably want more out of him than that. But yeah, I don't know if you've seen any of the goals. Walker's scored on his first start for Coventry was an absolutely lovely goal, to be honest. Great knock up the wing from Hamer, chested down by Big Max Biamu, and then slotted away nicely.
Well, yeah, Coventry scoring two good goals in 2 minutes and nothing for the rest of it. Do you think a bit of fatigue for setting there? Did it all goals in the second half? Or
yeah, I think like there's been a strange game plan. I think it's a game plan. I don't know if it's just a mentality thing coming up to the new level, if it's just a bit of nerves, but it looks like a game plan where we kind of look to try and settle into the game a little bit and then second half grow, whereas Saturday we looked like we kind of went on the front foot from the start. We were knocking it around quite nicely, and then I think you're right, I think a little bit of fatigue just when you go 2-1 up in the minutes that we did and how we did, you shouldn't really then be losing from there. But I think that's 5 penalties in 11 games now, so keep shooting ourselves in the foot.
A very sloppy penalty once again.
Yeah.
Moving on to Millwall here, as I'll probably say quite a few times on this podcast. I mean, we're not going to delve into that game very much this week, is it? I don't think it'd be very interesting for anyone.
Not fair.
Nothing to delve into.
Yeah, another £10 well spent watching that. Another solid defensive performance, but nothing up top really to report again. So I sort of focused on the Derby game, which is a really interesting one, looking at Philip Cocu out with COVID.
Yeah, saw that.
Seeing how they were going to come back from some pretty awful form, obviously. But I don't know if you saw it. It was really interesting that their chief executive tested positive for COVID a couple of days before the game, and he just held a meeting with the Cocu and the chairman. So they've got to self-isolate for 14 days. So if there was ever a time for Cocu to get that, it was right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure what was said in that meeting. Probably you lose this next game, you're gone. But as it stands, he's still the manager.
I think it's a funny one. Like, it sounds a weird thing to say, but maybe getting that has saved him a little bit. It's another excuse this week he can use as to maybe why they weren't as effective as he'd like them to be. Like, you can just say, well, I wasn't there.
Yes. I mean, you've got to feel sorry for him. He's such a nice, sort of dignified guy. Like,
yeah,
he's never, not making excuses for anyone. And then just as it can't get any worse, he has to self-isolate.
Yeah, it's a weird one as well, because obviously with their takeover talks, like, I wonder if the meeting was kind of discussing that. He must also be feeling a little bit worried about not only the form, but often when a big takeover happens, especially the size of this one, I mean, they obviously look really wealthy. Are they going to want to replace him and spend a bit of money on a manager, or what's the deal going to be?
Yeah, because you'd mostly think that big money comes in, you sort of think they'll want a big named manager in there, but he is a big name manager, so maybe they'll give him a little bit more time.
Yeah,
but the game itself, there was quite a few chances really for both teams. I mean, Derby had most of the ball the whole game really, which was sort of, so Cocu's got them playing some all right football, keeping the ball. They just really looked like they're lacking power up front. I mean, Rooney, I think some Derby fans, they can correct me if I'm wrong here, but losing patience with him a little bit, the way he just sort of walks around the pitch. Most of the time they're playing with 10 men and he's just there whipping a few passes around every now and then.
Hoping for a free kick.
Waghorn. Waghorn seems to take a lot of the free kicks now and just flies them over the bar.
he scored 2 in 2 games, I think.
He did, yeah.
So,
but he did take one, which was fairly close, against Barnsley. With Waghorn, Rooney and Tom Lawrence as sort of a front three, he should be a bit more exciting than it is. But he just missed so many chances. But then the same Barnsley as well. Derby is so open at the back. And then obviously, I assume we've all seen the Chaplin goal as well.
Yeah, funny.
Absolute horror show from, who was it, David Marshall in goal. Not only does he pass it straight to Chaplin, he still could save it, and then he just somehow falls over the ball.
He goes
heading towards him.
He's been one of their better players, David Marshall. And he's just absolutely lost his head.
Things aren't going right for you.
Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? When things are going wrong, or when it rains, it pours. It looked pretty awful. But I don't know if this is, again, feel free to correct me, but they seem like maybe they're missing Chris Martin a little bit. I don't know. He's looked really effective for Bristol City this season. I think he's on about 4 assists already. He scored on Friday night. And kind of Derby don't seem to have that connection between the midfield and the front like they did maybe when he was playing for them. I don't know.
He's only behind Tyrese Campbell and Brian Mbeumo on assists so far.
Yeah.
I just thought he was there to be an out-and-out goal scorer. So he's doing quite a lot.
Yeah, I think they're obviously lacking something up front. Obviously, just brought in the brilliantly named Colin Kazim Richards, who we're all fans of. But I'm not sure how prolific he's going to be in the division. But I assume obviously they've played so many games, they're going to have to mix it up a bit, because Louis Sibley didn't start the game. He's obviously one of the brightest young talents in the division.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about him. You'd kind of want him playing if he's fit, wouldn't you?
Yeah, obviously scored a hat-trick at the Den not too long ago as an 18-year-old or whatever he was.
Yeah. I think there's also, like, you talk about the fixture congestion there and obviously the fact that people are going to have to use rotation a lot. There's obviously a lot of talk at the moment about this not being allowed to use five subs. It does seem to be hurting teams late on. There's been quite a few late goals in the division. There was another one I saw for Norwich this weekend as well. Stiepermann scored a late goal. They've scored a few. I think it is kind of, it is something that maybe they're going to have a look at with this fixture congestion, because I'm not sure teams are going to be able to last a full season without injuries if it carries on.
Yeah, so it's almost impossible, isn't it? Obviously, the chat in the Premier League, the big teams want it, but obviously every team's playing 46 games in the EFL, so you're going to have to look at it if injuries get worse.
I think the international break comes at a good time for like all three of these teams. Like Reading, with their injuries, they've got three players coming back after the international break. Derby can regroup and, you know, they can their self-isolation period ends. And Coventry just like a little bit tired. I think they need it.
Yeah, I think the big thing for Coventry as well is injuries at the moment. I don't know if it's a case of they've rushed a few people back, but whenever we've had a few people kind of come back from injury this year, especially last year, our right wing back Dabo was, well, I think he won player of the season. He had an operation over the summer and then maybe they've rushed him back because it looks like he's potentially going to have some surgery done on it again. Yeah, I don't know about that. But yeah, they're obviously going to have a look at trying to sort out the congestion or maybe give him more subs. But I think you're right. I think that the international break will come as a bit of a kind of blessing for some teams. I was thinking about teams that it might not be that kind of good for, and looking at Forest, obviously having won two in two, having been on pretty bad form up until that point, Taylor scoring more and more each week. There are a few teams who are probably actually going to be a little bit gutted that their form is going to be stopped by the international break.
Yeah, fully agree. Obviously the three relegated sides are obviously picking up at the moment, and you just worry that those three are going to sort of move away from the rest of the pack, but maybe the international break comes at a good time for everyone else. Obviously, everyone's excited to see the return of Troy Parrott after the break as well.
Everyone. I definitely thought you were going to say Troy Deeney there, and I was going to say that guy actually did manage the last 15 minutes of the game, I think.
He's on his holidays now, isn't he?
On his holiday. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think actually talking about Parra, I know you said you weren't going to talk too much about Millwall because of a 0-0, but you are obviously, must be feeling a little bit unfortunate at the moment, having brought in two forwards and both of them have got injured.
Obviously, yeah, it's so unfortunate. I mean, Ken Zahor from West Brom came in. He just looked like fitting perfectly. He just gives us so much more up front. He's just mobile. Obviously, you've got Matt Smith, who can do half a job, and then Bradshaw does the other half, but they're two completely different players. And then Zahor sort of does both, which you're hoping that Parrott will be able to do as well. But obviously, Zahor now out for quite a while. Probably won't see him again in a Millwall shirt.
Really? Is it actually that long, is it?
Well, I think his deal does run out in January, so, and it's for fairly long injury.
Presumably, he was only really bought in to cover for Parrott's injury, and then you'd go with him as your main striker.
Ideally, yeah, but I mean, the worst is probably yet to come.
The worst. Well, you're keeping clean sheets anyway, but actually, a clean sheet as well that's probably worth talking about is Middlesbrough managing to shut out Brentford at Brentford. See, with Warnock doing a pretty good job defensively with Middlesbrough.
Now, yeah. you know what Warnock always says.
You've got to fucking die to get 3 points.
Yeah, well, exactly. You're not going to play against a Warnock side and free scoring, are you? So, but they've done a good job to shut out someone like Tony at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure he said you've got to die for 1 point in that game, and he'll be very happy with it.
Oh, yeah. You go there and take a point, wouldn't you? Most championship teams would, I think, this season.
Yeah. Keep Tony out. You've done a good job, to be honest.
Well, I've just staggered up the stairs after an half-time siding and we're fucking losing again!
And on that note, Southend have lost again.
Oh, dear.
Every weekend.
Yeah, it's not looking good for them at the moment, is it? Obviously, no League One and League Two football due to the FA Cup this weekend. But Southend, yeah, although they have, you know, made it all the way to penalties this week, bit of respite for them. They have obviously gone on and lost.
Although, like, you know, if you're going to lose, they probably could have done without any added time at the moment. More minutes in players' legs, probably not needed. But yeah, I don't know. Is it too early to say they're already dead and buried?
Oh, it's never too early to say that on this podcast, James.
Southend, oh dear.
Obviously, at non-league, Boreham Wood. Disappointing one for them again. We'll move on from them anyway. I'm sure they don't want to hear about that. But obviously, yeah. Other big games in the Cup this week.
Yeah, there was. There's actually a couple of all EFL fixtures that were actually worth watching in case it's some sort of idea of how the teams are going to get on. Hull and Fleetwood have both had pretty strong starts to the season in League One, and obviously played against each other at the weekend. Hull came away 2-0 winners. I don't know if that's anything to go by for the rest of the season, but obviously Hull are enjoying a great bit of form at the moment and actually look like they've built a pretty decent team. So yeah, they'll be pretty pleased about that. I'm sure Joey Barton had some strong words after that game.
With our favourite striker, Tom Eaves, in it.
Loves Tom
Eaves. No one's favourite striker, Tom Eaves.
Another one which I know we were just talking about Southend having a bit of an awful season so far, but Bolton, I don't think anyone expected them to have such a bad start, and they've lost again as well. And they were at home. They've lost 3-2. Nathan D'Alfonso, ex-Cov, has scored a brace for them, but not enough. Crew have obviously beaten them 3-2. Actually, I think Crew are doing fairly well this year.
Yeah, but if there's any ever a time that these clubs need a bit more money from the FA Cup, this is it. Bolton and Southend losing.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. You just got to feel so sorry for them.
Do you?
Little bit.
Another one probably worth mentioning. I know it's not an all EFL fixture, but Bradford managing to score 7 away at Tunbridge. Well done to them.
Oh dear. Imagine a league team turning up and you just get absolutely battered. Oh dear.
Pretty demoralising. I don't know as well, like all these teams that are obviously National League and whatever must be pretty uncertain for them at the moment because of what's going on with COVID and the fact that, you know, some teams are being told that they can't play. It's a bit of a weird one that then the FA Cup can go ahead. I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out.
Yeah, well, obviously they haven't been able to train for the last couple of weeks, I don't think, but they'll have a couple of weeks off to think about that. That performance against Bradford. Ambridge Angels, yeah.
Yeah, there's another good one as well, which was obviously all League One, Ipswich against Portsmouth.
The big one.
The big one, yeah, the big one. Went into extra time, was 2-2 at half, not half time, at full time. And then Raggett's gone and got a winner in the 111th minute. So obviously Portsmouth will be pleased. Again, both teams probably wouldn't have been too happy about having to go into extra time, but I'm sure Portsmouth won't mind too much as they've won.
Yeah, both those sides will fancy a little cup run this year as well.
But yeah, and league success, you'd like to think. Surely Ipswich can't be happy down there again.
No, some of the top sides in League One obviously going to be fighting for it this season, but Sunderland, another one, losing at home to Mansfield in the Cup. More disappointment for them.
Yeah, especially as Mansfield's all a bit uncertain at the moment. I know they've just made Nigel Clough manager, but I'm pretty sure the owner said that he wasn't taking charge at the weekend, so surely Sunderland would have fancied themselves, but yeah. More content.
Yeah.
More content for the Netflix series.
Exactly. Get that cancelled.
Just want to see Charlie stand up again in the crowd and just go, "Wake up!"
There would have been a few of them in that game.
I tried to find it for a soundbite, but no dice, no luck.
Mr. Soundman's let us down there, unfortunately. But I'm as much bootlegger as you like, as much Warnock as you like, but Netflix, no go.
All that copyright.
Yeah, not worth it.
Yeah. Donny Rovers managed to score 5 away at FC United of Manchester, another team that I'll obviously be hoping to push on from last season and hopefully try and get a top 6 spot. Bristol Rovers won away at Walsall as well, which I think they're on actually a decent bit of form at the moment, Rovers. Their manager needs to kind of prove himself after taking over last year and them seeing themselves drop like a stone once he took over. And then the fact that they lost top goal scorer, Johnson Clark-Harris. But yeah, it looks like they might have replaced him and actually look like they might have picked up a little bit of form.
Well, obviously that game, Rovers fans desperate to win against Daryl Clark of Walsall now, of course.
Yeah, good point. I hadn't actually thought about that. Yeah.
I'm sure he would have been getting some stick if the fans were there, but
yeah,
unfortunately not.
He's gone home smiling, even though they've lost, just at the thought of the fact that he's not getting abused.
Yeah. Sorry, Daryl.
Never met the bloke. Yeah. Another one which I was keeping an eye on was Gillingham. I know it's against Woking, but they recently added Dominic Samuel to the team, who I thought sounded like a really good signing, and he's actually dropped down the leagues to go and play at Gillingham. He scored twice again at the weekend, and actually they really, really needed the win. They looked quite strong at the start of the season, but then dropped off a little bit. I think they've had a couple of reds recently as well, but I'll actually be keeping a little bit of an eye on those, seeing as they've got two young Coventry lads on loan there. A bit of a weird one because their manager, Steve Evans. Yeah.
Another favourite of the podcast.
Again, no one's favourite. Mm-hmm. Him and Mark Robbins usually have a little bit of a fight after the game, give each other a bit of stick. But for some reason, after we played them in the cup the other week, they walked off the pitch with their arms round each other, having a nice little chat.
No one wants to see that, do they?
No, that's not good content for the fans at the moment, is it?
No.
But yeah, then they've both said in their interviews after the game how they were really respectful towards each other and they're enjoying how each other are playing. And within a week, we've loaned two youngsters there. So yeah, not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, there's one manager you want to be connected with.
Steve Evans.
Larger than life character Steve Evans.
Put the sombrero down, Steve. Yeah.
Last game in the roundup has to be, and I've made the soundbite just for it. I was just ready to break the soundbite.
What is this going to be now?
Come the chicks, come on!
It's got to be. Wigan going 2-0 up, 2-0 up at home to non-league Chorley, getting Adam Long sent off just before half-time. And I was out walking the dog and I'm just watching Chorley slowly come back into it goal by goal. And then they win it in extra time. Oh, it's absolutely beautiful.
Right. But feel sorry for Wigan, but also funny.
I'll be honest, I'm just excited to use the soundbite over and over again at any opportunity. Win away at top of the league, lose to non-league, surely. Doesn't matter, I'm bashing the button.
It's happening. Come the chicks, come on!
Oh, Christ.
So yeah, that confirms it. If we've got a sound clip, your team will be mentioned. Okay. And then final game, Torquay 5-6.
Yeah, so, how have we left that?
We could probably speak about that for half an hour, but we won't. We'll leave it there.
Oh God. To be honest, it didn't get to a penalty shootout that game. But there was almost enough penalties scored in the game to actually make it a penalty shootout. I think there was 3. And 2 of them came after the 90th minute because there was just, obviously it went into extra time. Plus the fact there was God knows how long in added time. Something must have happened at that game because I think the last goal was scored in 90 plus 21. So I have absolutely no idea what's happened there. But yeah, they've had a goal fest at Torquay. And why not?
Why not? Exactly. FA Cup round one. But I think what I overlooked from that game is the fact that Tony Craig was booked after 27 minutes. And I think he's made it all the way through to 120 without getting another one. 100 more minutes.
Overlooked. There you go. There's your overlooked stat of the day.
Man of the match. Tony Craig. Conceded 5 goals, but man of the match for that.
He's on the winning side. Gary Johnson's had one look at the league table when they're like, what are they, 5-3 up, and gone, right, the last thing we need is a cup run. Like, just operation, just self-destruct, just activate. And they've just conceded 3 in the last, like, 10 minutes or so.
If that's true, it's a bit of an odd time to decide to do it, really, because you've already made it to extra time.
Make it to extra time.
I'm distancing myself from that comment, actually.
God, I don't want them lads tripping over on the way up to the penalty spot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Special mention to Torquay, who we may be seeing in the EFL next season.
Yeah, why not? Good day out for the fans, that.
Yeah, on the English Riviera.
Are you on the Torquay tourist board or something? On the conversation of goals, we should probably talk about some of the goals from this weekend. And I've got a nominee for goal of the week. I don't know if you've seen this. And yes, it's probably going to sound biased because it is a goal from the Sky Blues. But Gustavo Hayem has scored a 25-yard header. I don't know if you've seen that.
It's just mad. I've not seen a goal like it in my entire life. He completely means it.
He totally means it, despite the the commentary I was watching saying that it might not have been meant. He's definitely meant that. I'm not sure how I feel about it. It feels a little bit wasted that he scored that and we've lost. I also can't wait for the Ben Foster YouTube video to come out where he's lobbed by a 25-yard header, because I'm sure some choice words will have been used by Ben there. But yeah, that's got to be goal of a day for me, I think.
Yeah, and I don't want to play sort of devil's advocate here, but has he meant it really? You know, he's running to try and win the ball and he's had to get his head to it. And Foster's just been beaten. But yeah, shout out to Ben Foster's YouTube channel as well. Some good content, good EFL content on there.
Good content. Just him going nuts when a goal goes in at either end.
Well, that's what we like to see.
Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, he's meant that header.
Yeah,
we'll have to get him on next week and ask.
Steady.
There was a nice one in the Barnsley game. Their second to wrap it up was quite nice, I thought.
Yeah, go on, Andy, tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, that was like my game, of course it was.
His game.
Well, obviously, you know.
No pressure.
I couldn't find the game. I had to get it up in front of me. Landed me in it there. Yeah, that was obviously my game, the Barnsley one. I think it's Victor Adeboyejo. Sorry if I've pronounced that wrong. Yeah, absolutely lovely goal to make it 2-0, probably seal it there as well. Cutting in from the left-hand side and just curls it round the defender into the far post. I think that's his first goal in the EFL as well, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, it could be many more to come from him.
He's obviously young as well, and the fact that he's playing in the Championship, I think it's 22, says a lot about what Barnsley kind of want from him. But yeah, it's a really, really nice goal. Leading up to it.
He'd only been on the pitch 5 minutes as well. So what more could you want from the ball?
Impact.
He's hit it so hard.
Has he? I mean, he's
more of a curler. I'd call it a curler.
Yeah, he's kind of curled it. I know what you mean. He's put something on it.
Pace for a curler is just 99 shot power, finesse shot.
You know, we don't have to argue about every goal.
But we will.
Good goals. They're good goals. You know, a good goal is a good goal forever.
Yeah, but you're right. If, is that a Brent quote?
Yeah, a good idea is a good idea forever. I was trying to get that for the soundbite, but yeah, it's going to take so long.
If Marshall's at fault for the first, he's definitely not at fault for the second, though. It's a great finish. He's done really well to bring it down, found a bit of space. And like you say, he's just kind of bent that into the corner, put it out of his reach.
But we're calling Hamer's goal of the weekend, are we?
Well, I am.
I'm voting for it as well. If you've been outvoted, Andy.
Well, I'll vote for it as well, then.
just to make what I said completely redundant.
I'm a feeling you might have only voted for it because there was actually no goals at Hillsborough this weekend, but
no, and there wasn't much chance either. Normally a Matt Smith bundled into the back post will win goal of the week.
I've worked hard, so I'm going to play hard, baby.
Well, on that note, boys, I think we'll wrap it up there. Just a bit of a shorter one this week, just because obviously it's the first one to get started and the fact that it was just the Championship in the EFL this week. So thanks very much for joining me, lads.
Thanks, lads. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, lads. See you next week.
Yep. We will obviously be back next week, even though it's the international break, but Leagues 1 and 2 still carry on.
19 of the current England squad are in. Have come through the EFL, by the way.
Oh, I thought the podcast was over, Luke, and you've still managed to get in another pointless stat.
Jesus, stat man at it again.
See you next week.
See ya.
See ya.
I was scrolling through the games just to try and find it, but I couldn't find it.
I know that's going to be so funny.
I have to have his name up there to be able to say it.
I know.
That is funny.
Absolutely landed at me in there.
You said Victor as well. Funny. You said Victor and then not know that.
Okay, we won't do it. We won't do it. We won't do it. Oh my God. What were you doing?